second teenagehood there. Before that, we had Laura Veers with Winter Windows and up the top, Ghost Woman with Dead Gone. You're on 2SER 107.3. And as I said, that one was that last track we were listening into was from Library Siesta, second teenagehood, as I said. And funny enough, they're featured. They're of course a featured 2SER artist, Library Siesta, with the group's new single, which was That Second Teenagehood, who, as it turns out, I am joined with the front woman, Brianna Jones. How are you doing, Brianna?
I'm doing so well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in and joining us here on the land of the Gadigal people on this week's Thursday Drive. So look, congratulations on releasing your string of new singles. You released the last Library Siesta record in 2016, which is about, oh my God, it's like 6 years ago almost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm horrible at math. I'm surprised I figured that out so quick. How does it feel to, you know, be back on the saddle after 6 years?
It feels good. I feel like we've been secretly in the saddle the whole time.
Yeah.
But we just haven't publicly put much out, like, sort of since then. And so, yeah, all those singles are taken from an album that we've just been chipping away at for a really long time. And there's a lot of reasons why we haven't been able to put something out in this meantime. Like, it's just kind of taken its time. But I really like that. I really like doing things slowly.
Yeah. Me too.
It's like, you know, how there's a slow fashion, there's slow food. It's like slow music. Why not?
100%. Because I feel like you're taking that time to completely curate it to be the best product that you're happy with. And even like develop your, you know, I feel like one of the biggest things that I hate, not hate, but like somewhat annoys me is when artists just come out with an album every year, but it sounds like the exact same album. There's no, you can't see that growth because they're not giving the space to breathe. Is that one of the reasons as to why you've also kind of taken it a bit slower?
Oh, good question. I hope that people can hear growth. I hope that people go and go, wow, took you 6 years to do this.
No, I think definitely they'll be able to tell. You can tell from the second teenagehood, 100%.
Yeah, it's yeah, definitely. Like, I think growth, we've changed our lineup in that time as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just naturally been growth through that. But yeah, I just really like, yeah, taking my time with things to be really thoughtful. I've thought so much about like what makes an album, why make an album in this digital age? Like back in the day, you'd make it and it would be this amount of songs because that was like the amount of songs you could fit on the format. And then it's like, why do an album and not just release singles? And for me, it's like, you've got to give people a reason to listen to those songs all together and create a bit of a story throughout them and an experience. If, like, without sounding too wanky, like, no. I really like concept albums.
I think they're the best.
Yeah, so we've just kind of like taken that time to really thoughtfully pull everything together lyrically, but also musically. And there's like a lot of Easter eggs across the different songs. I'm so excited for people to hear it.
Brilliant. And this album that we're obviously talking about is called What You're Worth. And you've, as you said, you've been working on it for a couple of years now, and it comes out on August 19th on Off the List Records. Are you excited to finally get those songs that you've been, you know, curating and like slaving over, and you know, the concept of it all as well? Are you excited to get them out there?
Oh, I cannot wait. I am so, so excited. Yeah, I'm just, because it's been nice to put out singles and it's been nice to, you know, get some feedback in that sense. But for me, the real art is the album itself, because we've just spent so much time like curating something really thoughtful. And yeah, it's almost like singles, in this instance, the singles are like marketing tools to promote this thing that we actually sort of want to pull people into. And
yeah.
I really hope that people feel like it's worth their time and listening to the whole thing together.
Most
I can't
definitely.
Wait.
And may I ask about like the concept behind the album? So what themes are we exploring here?
I feel like it's an album about self-worth and like what that might mean at different points in time for a person, like going through feeling like you're not actually worth and very much and having a lot of negative self-talk, but then and how you allow people to treat you, but then also like that kind of growth and coming around to actually like going like, no, this is what I'm worth and I know what I'm worth. So yeah, that's the kind of themes
that's
we're getting
brilliant.
Into.
I love that, because you know, I think It is so easy. I mean, everyone eventually, underneath this, you know, societal pressures, you just grow up loathing yourself at some point, you know, and everyone is, especially since lockdown, I think everyone is really trying to, you've had to face a lot of your own issues within yourself because you had just yourself, a lot of people to
so
spend
isolated.
With. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a fantastic album and very well needed. You know, and I also host a program called Yours, Mine and Femme, which airs on Mondays. It's a show that's sort of dedicated to putting a spotlight on issues affecting women and feminine identifying persons of all ages, cultures, sexualities and abilities. And cis and female identifying women and persons have historically faced underrepresentation within the music industry. This is obviously also true for artists who identify, who have disabilities as well. And your gig promotion, you know, Library Siesta, your gig promotions, you post list accessibility information for each gig. Firstly, that's amazing. That's awesome. And I don't know why other bands aren't doing this and why we haven't been for so long. But I want to know what motivated you to take, obviously it's probably self-explanatory, but was there a particular reason as to why you're wanting to do that?
Yeah, I think like there's a lot of reasons. I've been thinking a lot about accessibility and like obviously we just want all people to be able to enjoy our music in the best way that they can. And so the access kind of to me is about a conversation and it's about making information available because sometimes if like that information isn't available, it can be a bit too scary to ask because being rejected, being told like, no, this isn't for you can be such a scary thing. And so
and like, the erasure of it all.
Yeah. And so just like having that information be available is so valuable. And you never know what that's going to mean to a person. And like, maybe we put that info out and it like, you know, people see it and they're like, oh, I could go, but I'm not going to go because I've got a friend's party on or whatever. Yeah. But it still means something to know like, yeah, I can go to that. Yeah. And maybe they'll come in the future. So yeah, it is like really important just to have information available. And I feel like some venues do it really well, but it's not always just like the venue. Sometimes it's the event itself. There's lots of decisions that you get to make when you put on an event, like whether you're going to use strobe lighting or not. And like just letting people know in advance, no, we're not going to use strobe lighting. Then that kind of can make a difference to a person going like, okay, cool. This is going to be like safe for me to attend.
Yeah.
And so, and that's not necessarily something that a venue would put on their website necessarily because it's just dependent on the event. So I think it's like really helpful to, yeah, just make that info available so that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very, very commendable and and you know, something that we should all be looking for anyway and doing. So whilst we're here, you know, I thought that we'd be a good, Al has been speaking with you, my producer, and he asked you to give us three songs, one that you wish that you wrote, one that you hate, loathe even, and the song that you're most proud of writing or producing yourself. So your first song is Datsun by the S-Bends. What is it? This is the song that you wish that you wrote. Why is that? Where's the love come from?
So they're friends of mine, the S-Bends, and I think there's something about, like when it's someone you know, it's someone in your local music community, they're a local Eora Sydney like artist, it makes it seem like, oh damn, like I actually could have written it because of that proximity. And it is just so good. I think the thing, like there's a lot going on in that song that I love. I think the thing that I love the most is that the lyrics just conjure up such vivid imagery for me. I feel whenever I listen to it, I just feel like I'm watching a film. Like I just can see this story play out and it's dark and it's like so compelling and gripping. And it's like, what happens next? And I feel like it ends on a cliffhanger and I'm like, oh, what happened?
Oh, amazing. Well, let's have we've got a segment of it. A bit of a clip of it. Let's have a listen. And you at home can figure it out for yourself. It's loading. It's coming up. Oh, maybe not. Apologies. For some reason, we're having some technical difficulties. We'll load it up in just a moment. But so S-Bends, are you friends with them?
Yeah. So, oh, here we go.
Yeah, we've got it going. But you're mates with them though?
Yeah. I think we've played a show together, or maybe we've only played shows with some of their support acts. But yeah, I hang out with them every now
sweet.
And then. And yeah, we're just in the same circles.
Oh,
I love them so much.
Okay. Well, I've got it loaded up. We can explore this soundscape together finally. Here we go. There it is, Datsun from the S-Bends, which was your favourite pick of the lot that we've got, Bree. So the next one you've picked is a song that you can't stand, Landlocked Blues by Bright Eyes. Where's the hatred coming from? Where is it coming from?
I love Bright Eyes. I want to say that first and foremost.
I was going to say, I saw it and I was like, Bright Eyes? Why?
I am a massive, massive Bright Eyes fan. Yeah. So the first time I ever heard Bright Eyes, I was a teenager. I was very angsty and moody.
Me.
And I was like in my bedroom listening to my radio and a song came on and it was Bright Eyes. I was captive. Like I stopped what I was doing. I stared at my radio for like 4.5 minutes, just totally immersed in this song. I was like, oh my God, who is this? They back announced it. They're like, this is Bright Eyes. Went straight to Kazaa because that's how old I am. Downloaded every Bright Eyes song I could hear. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I love this. So this was like around 2002, 2003. Mm-hmm. And that song, it's still my favorite Bright Eyes song. It's called One Foot in Front of the Other. Mm-hmm. And I want it played at my funeral. Like, it's just so beautiful. And then a year later, maybe 2 years later, he put out I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, which is now like, you know, one of his most popular albums. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it. I'm like, oh, this is cool. He's got this really stripped back thing going on. I like it. And then it gets to Landlocked Blues. And I'm like, oh my God, this is One Foot in Front of the Other, this song that I fell in love with, but he's completely redone it. He's stripped back all the stuff that I loved about it. And he's brought in this like weird country backing vocal that's just like totally ruined this song for me. And
no.
I cannot listen to that version because it just makes me so upset. I'm like, why did you do this to me, Connor Reverse?
Okay, well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to subject you to it now.
No.
It's only
I thought we were friends.
I just want to know. You need to break it down for me afterwards. Okay. This is Landlocked Blues, the, you know, Bree's not very favorite song ever.
Walk away, I'll walk away. First tell me which road you will take. I don't wanna risk our paths crossing someday. So you walk that way, I'll walk this way. And the future hangs over our heads. And it moves with each current event until it falls all around like a cold, steady rain. Just stay in when it's looking this way. And the moon's laying low in the sky, forcing everything metal to shine. And the sidewalk holds diamonds like a jewelry store case. They argue, walk this way, no, walk this way. And Laura's asleep in my bed. As I'm leaving, she wakes up and says, I dreamed you were carried away on the crest of a wave. Baby, don't go away, come here. And there's kids playing guns in the street. And one's pointing his tree branch at me. And so I put my hands up. I say, enough is enough. If you walk away, I'll walk away. And he shot me dead. I found a liquid cure from my landlocked blues. It will pass away like a slow parade. It's leaving, but I don't know how soon.
There it is. So what do we think? Landlocked Blues by Bright Eyes. I definitely, yeah, I need to listen to the original and then...
Yes.
You know, then I can fully appreciate or unappreciate the sacrilege that is.
Yes. It's on like a Saddle Creek compilation from like 2002, 2003, One Foot in Front of the Other. I strongly recommend everybody listen to that.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Boycott Landlocked Blues.
Landlocked Blues. Okay. So we asked you finally to as well pick a song that you are most proud of writing. You know, the Library Siesta track Insignificant Other is the one that you've chosen. Why? What? Where's the love come from for this one? Where's the pride?
There's actually multiple levels of pride in this one for me. On one level, it's like I can hear in the recording that I've kind of like, there's just one point where I've kind of like fumbled the chord a little bit. Mm. And I actually feel really proud of that because I just kind of like, that's just how I play when I play live, because like I have arthritis and it affects my hands like quite a lot. And so that just means like, that's just how I play. That's how I sound.
Exactly.
It's not perfect. And so there's just that kind of element, like hearing that fumble in it. I feel like, yeah, like, deal with it. Like,
exactly.
This is what I sound like.
Exactly.
So yeah, there's like a bit of a side of like disability pride, and it's so small and so subtle, and I feel like most people actually wouldn't hear it, but when I hear it, I just feel really proud. And then like I also feel really proud of like our band and how we wrote that song, because before, like as I mentioned a little earlier, we had like went through a lot of different lineups, and we were essentially like a four-piece band, and we ended up sort of expanding, becoming a five-piece.
Yeah.
And for a long time, we were like working through our old songs, like for a live set, and also like songs that we had written for this album, but as a four-piece, and we kind of like had to rework them, figure out how to fit in an extra guitar without like stepping on each other's toes and
giving each
other
that space.
Exactly. Like really, really consciously thinking about space. And we spent so much time doing that in this lineup that we have now that I love my bandmates so much. They are absolutely the best people to make music with. And so like when this was the first song that we wrote, like starting from scratch, five people in a room, and like I feel like when I hear this song, like it came together so quickly, first of all. Like we just locked in, like we only had to play through the song like once or twice before everyone had like essentially found like what their part is going to sound like. And we spent ages like finessing stuff, but the initial like gist of like the feel of the song just came together so quickly. And I think it's like it just, when I hear the song back, it just like makes me think of like how good that felt to be like, yeah, five best friends like making music together, and like how I can just hear our, like how much our relationship had formed, how much we'd learned to listen to each other, how much like all the sort of things that we had to go through to work out like how to listen to each other, all of the problems, all of those things being resolved, like, and then the reward is like being able to just like start something from scratch and have it come together so quickly and so beautifully. And like, I just feel really proud of us as a band and like how we communicate and how we listen.
That's
and
brilliant.
Yeah, it just makes me like love my bandmates when I
hear literally
it.
Have just gotten goosebumps about 7 times over my body, and I'm not lying. Like, I literally was like smiling and giggling to myself because I was like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That fills you with all of the feels. And before we play the song, which I definitely know that we're going to be able to, I hope you listening in, you're going to be like, you know, shrouded in goosebumps as well when you listen to it. I want to say thank you so much, Bree, for coming on the show today. It's been amazing to have you on. And where can we find Library Siesta on social media?
We're just at Library Siesta Instagram and Facebook. We also have a show coming up.
Yeah. Is it at the Mosh Pit?
Yes. Yeah. Mosh Pit. It's also live streamed. So if anyone wants to attend in that way, and if that works better for you, then that's possible as well.
So it's at the Mosh Pit Bar in Newtown on the 6th of August?
Yes.
Brilliant. Awesome. So where do we find the live stream of it?
So there's ticket links. There's like a ticket link at zen.net.au, I believe. Mm-hmm. If you just like search Mosh Pit Bar.
Oh, that's all right. We'll put all everything on the website afterwards. All good. That's a bit of a complicated question to ask. Like, don't need to remember your URL off the top of your head.
Basically,
it's
through zen.net.au.
Brilliant. Cool. Thank you so much. Library Siesta's new album, What You're Worth, comes out on August 19th from Off the List Records. You can pre-order it at their Bandcamp. All of the links will be thrown up onto our website, onto ser.com, very, very soon. But thank you so much again, Bree, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's been amazing to have you, and good luck with everything. I'm going to be mosh pitting at the mosh pit when that show comes up, for sure. Thank
amazing.
You. All right. So without further ado, this is Bree's favorite and most proud song that herself and the rest of Library Siesta have come out with. It's Insignificant Other.